I would like to welcome you to a new segment. We've got so many segments. This is such a show that reflects its maker. They say that dogs look like their owners. This show is all over the place. So that's why I'm the one behind it. So this show has developed a lot because of you guys, because of people joining, because of people reaching out, because of the people I work with, because of the people I've been able to coach. It changes the show so much because I hear from you guys. I see what you're struggling with, what I'm struggling with when working with you. I go, okay, how do I work on that? How can I help them work on that? That's led to this. This is going to be questions from Discord and the community, if you will, too, because I've compiled 5 questions today. See how we go. Because we've got so many submissions for Emily's help desk, I've decided to take the time, pass it off a bit of this podcast and just dedicate it to your questions. Like I said, if you have any questions, please send them in. Email us, Instagram me, email me, or best of all, join our Discord. Get in touch and we will give you the link and you can just drop yourself right into the Discord, ask the questions in the channel, get to know other people. That's what this is mainly about, getting to know other people. But I thought there's so many good questions that have been asked to me over the years. I can say now being a coach, running this podcast, I think it's important to have those brought up often, even in their simplest forms, because I think very much when I ask for questions, people go, oh, but what if it's too simple? Okay, cool. Maybe it is too simple for you or someone else, but think about the 50 people that might actually really help if people can kind of check their egos in a sense. So if you get involved with the Discord, you'll see the way we speak to each other, I think is just beautiful and people are kind and they're interested. They want to write with you. We've got lots of different channels depending on what your needs are. Or you can be the wallflower, the perfect wallflower. Just jump in and observe. That's the best way to do it. So 5 questions from Discord and the community. These have sort of been stolen. All of these are from Discord today, but I'm going to be in the future stealing some other great ones, plus dropping in some from sessions from coaches, things I've heard when I'm doing research or when I'm reading. And there's some really good ones today. So this is number 1. And I won't be naming people because the whole point of a Discord is it can be anonymous. So some of these guys will know that they're questions, and I might name people if they've allowed me to do so. But I'm going to remain anonymous because I want to focus on the theory here. So, are there different rules when it comes to writing for different genres? The simple answer is yes. And again, the fundamental of this show is that we give people tools, not rules. But this question, I think, is great because it talks about the differences between genres. I myself have an experience in pop, in rock, in metal. You could say R&B and what's become trap, what's become pop. I have experience in those areas because I've been in a rock band. I've played pop music myself or with others and write for others in that genre still to this day. I've spent time around and written with metal bands. I have spent my time also with some kind of trap, with some pop, in the bit of the world of hip hop, but that's kind of where I sit. So I would say that even within those genres, because I'm only going to answer this from my perspective, but this is answering the question. For example, when I'm looking at rap, you're looking at contrast, you're looking at this really beautiful, intricate, actually that's a lie, everything is contrast. But when I'm looking at a rap song, it's completely different to how I look at a metal song. For example, we all know, let's assume, to answer this question without me rambling too much, that pop music is the standard. Let's say verse, pre-chorus, bridge, chorus, end. Let's call that the standard. That's just for structure, right? So I can't go into everything, but I'm going to talk generally about structure just to see how these differ. If we take a metal song, it's very much going to be intro, verse, maybe a verse 2, pre, chorus, post-chorus, maybe even a break, then repeat, then bridge. And you can have 9-minute songs. Talk about prog metal, right? You could have 11 to 12 minute songs, which are beautifully crafted. They're often kind of like mini albums and EPs inside each song. So obviously the rules for that are incredibly different to some degree. There's, like I said, they've still got sub-songs within their songs. So you could argue that in the same way that each section of a song is almost built like a song within each section. So we can go into that one day because it's not as confusing as it sounds. But yes, simply, again, if we take metal as one example where we have this incredible use of instrumentals, that's the thing with pop music, it's very rare. I mean, it's not that rare, but it's far more rare, should we say, to have a solo. Whereas in metal, it's may even be two. Or in the genres like funk, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, they can often have two solos in a song, but they often act like a vocal. So even if you have a section, what part does it play? Or, you know, what's your delivery? Because the rules for writing rap are so different to writing like a poppy vocal chorus. So just there's some differences. And if we take dance, for example, it's very often like dance songs, because of the nature of the genre, right? And we're talking in genres here because you have to talk in some sense of kind of rules and structuring. Dance is kind of like verse, chorus, maybe a verse two, or verse, pre-chorus, maybe a verse two, and some ad-libs. It's kind of a lot more slick, shall we say. And I think that's a credit to it. In a sense, the best songs are quite slick and simple. But then you take pop, there's a huge range within pop. It's much like people and countries. There's a bigger range within the country than there are probably between. But that doesn't mean that there aren't different ways of writing in different genres. So prog, metal, one extreme. And then if you take folk, we've even had really cool episodes of Emily's Help Desk whereby you can hear the different approaches to music. And arguably, there's even just different approaches to lyrics. So when you say, are there different rules when it comes to writing different genres? Yes, is the short answer. Short answer, because that's how we identify genres in some senses, the fact they're different and they're all different in the same way. But I don't know if it's as easy as that. So I'm going to answer yes, and I'm going to leave that to you guys. But for me, there are some genres where there are extremes. And for example, how you write a rock chorus, you can have different intervals between the notes you choose, and also maybe gaps between the verse and the chorus, different intervals than you would maybe on a ballad or a prog song. So that's what gives gives these songs their unique feelings and experiences, is the fact that they're different and consistently different in the same ways. That makes sense. So love that question. There's a lot more I can kind of jump into, I would say, on that one, but I'm going to go for the next question. This is a great one. When do you consider yourself a songwriter? After one song or 40? I could answer this one really simply. And I will, to start with. If you want to be a runner, run. If you want to be a songwriter, write. And not only if you want to be a runner, you run, but when you run, you become a runner. And that for me is very, very simple way to answer this. But I think there's also a nuance to this, is when do you consider yourself a songwriter, after one song or 40? I think simply, I'm going to repeat it. If you want to be a songwriter, write a song and you're a songwriter. Okay, but there's a whole world to it. So if you want to talk about when you become a professional songwriter, that would probably be when you've had one of your songs recorded and released by someone else. Doesn't matter if they're big or small. The first one I think I had released was, well, I mean, I'm a songwriter. Here we go. This could be confusing because the first songs I released myself, which made me a songwriter, in that sense, as an artist, when I was 14, 15. So I've been a songwriter for that long, right? But writing for other people, that took a lot longer. I was in my 20s before someone released a song that I'd written for them or with them. Okay, so there's that idea of, you are, very simply, and I'm going to maintain this, if you've written a song, you're a songwriter. Okay, then we can talk about quality. Then we can talk about, as an artist, as someone who writes for other people. I've been in bands. I'm still a songwriter in that band. If you release songs in a band, maybe you're the bassist, you don't write anything. Well, then technically you're not a songwriter, right? But you are, because you're part of it. You performed it. You've been a part of that piece. So I would say the best answer for this one would be simply that if you run, you're a runner. If you write, you're a songwriter. And that's the same for any creative art, anything you want to do. And then the nuances, and where I have my business and my job, it is teaching people how to get up the rungs and how to think about how they can improve and do it efficiently and effectively. So that's how I'd consider people as songwriters if they have written a song. Question number three. Creating elaborate instrumental sections in home demos. Should this be left open to the interpretation of a producer? And should the songwriter focus on key components of the song, tools, lyrics, melodies? As a guitar player, I always like to think about guitar parts and solos, but don't know if that's unnecessary. So essentially, should you be adding instrumental sections into your home demos? I'd say hell yeah. Because if you're writing for other people, or if you're expressly writing to work with a producer, even then, you probably want to give them a flavor, like Molly Ann Lakin talks about, like how good can you get your demo to be? So general rule, Jason Blum as well, like Ryan Tedder, all of these guys would say that, is that if you want someone to have a guitar solo, you know your producer's got an incredible in-house guitarist, right? You're still going to play a guitar solo for them and say, here, this is the feeling I like. So when you're creating home demos, there's always an argument that, okay, yeah, If it's just a demo on your iPhone, you don't need to worry about production yet. Or maybe you do. Maybe you Charlie Puth it and you sing the production. That's also valid. But if you just want to focus on the skill of being a songwriter, so to speak, which is the kind of melody, lyrics, chords, then do so. But if you feel like there's a part of you that is better expressed through instrumentals, then add those, because that's going to color the way you think about it, the way a producer comes along, maybe a songwriter comes along. I would just say that make sure that everything you're doing is solid, including your instrumental parts. You know, if your song is killing it, instrumental parts are weak. Okay, cool. We can live with that because someone's going to fill them in for you if you're not a producer yourself. However, if your song's weak, your instrumental parts are banging, it's like, are you a guitarist then? You know, you can be all. And I would also say that the skills of production, being an instrumentalist and a songwriter, they are different, but there are those that do it incredibly well all at the same time. So if your process is adding in instrumental sections, do so. If you feel like that would just be a bit of an onus, don't do it. But I would also say that if you want to put it in, because it will help people that are going to come in later in the process. So if you enjoy playing guitar solos, just play them. If they feel unnecessary, then that's your up to your interpretation or those that you work with to go, okay, is it needed here? No. Yes. Yeah, I like it. So there are different ways of answering that one. But it's a good one because it talks about the separation of process, the kind of staging of demos, and just a good question. I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that. But if your process is smooth and you just go from instrumental to vocal to this to that, you know, then don't change it. Do what works for you. Next question, which I think is a freaking brilliant one. How do you deal with low energy? What do you do when you're struggling with energy, motivation, or otherwise to spark that consistency in your writing? And instantly, I wanted to answer this as a songwriting question, and I think that will come through. But for me, when I see this, as someone who suffers with varying moods, varying motivation, motivation's a word, you know, drive is what we want. Drive would be great because that kind of gets through those times when it's bad. But I'm not going to pick apart this question because it's a wonderful one, in the sense of what your words you've used. But the five things I think are super important when it comes to our mental health, comes to our health, comes to our energy, which then allows us to have that time to be motivated, to spark, to write things, to be consistent. Okay, we need energy for that. So if you're struggling with energy, that's the predominant question. I had a couple of questions kind of surrounding this. First, I'll answer it as a human being. Dr. Andrew Huberman was talking to Mr. Tim Ferriss. It should be Dr. Tim Ferriss, but it's not. Two of my favorite people when it comes to thinkers, thought leaders. And Andrew Huberman was talking about the five things that are kind of, they're the fundamentals. If you don't have these, you're going to be feeling bad. You're going to be feeling low. If you don't consistently re-up on these, you know, refresh, redo these every 24 hours, he said, which is intense, but it's true. You're going to feel bad. You're going to have low energy. You're going to be struggling. So if I'm in a bad mood, if I've got these five ticked off, then I'm almost like, right, I am in trouble because I've done all these five fundamental things. But so often I've screwed up a number of, if not all of these, definitely one if I'm feeling bad. So if you're struggling with low energy, think about this. First one, sleep. Have you in the last 24 hours had 8 hours sleep? Solid REM sleep or two sets of 90 minutes, I think REM sleep, which come in between the other sets of sleep. So it's like 7 to 8 hours for people. All of these, 1 to 5, within the last 24 hours. Okay. Have you slept well? Exercise. Again, I think you know when you've done it and when you haven't. There's different ways of doing it depending on your ability, your age, what you're interested in, what you're not, but we all know, have we done enough exercise? Let's call it 30 minutes. Have you moved your body for 30 minutes? Light is a great one. Have you been outside with real natural sunlight, even if it's under cloud coverage, which I love because a lot of us listening to this will be in winter, will be in summer with clouds like we are here. So have you been outside? Have you taken light in? Again, 60 minutes, 30 minutes, something. Enough for your body to know it's outside and taking those nutrients. Relationships. Have you in the last 24 hours spent time with those you love or you're close to and invested that time and enjoyed that time? Okay. Good relationships. Like I said, this is good light, good sleep, good exercise, good relationships. And finally, particularly one I suck at, food, your diet. is your diet solid? Is it quality? In the last 24 hours, have you had good square meals that are balanced, vegetables, minerals, vitamins, all these things? I suck at this one. Or I yo-yo hard on this one. So it's very, very, very rare. And I can't really think of it when I'm feeling awful with low energy. As you said, that's the question, especially in terms of creativity, which I struggle today. I'll be completely honest. I have a drive to get through it. I have a plan to get through it, which is something else. But these five things I think are unquestionably important. So light, good light, good sleep, good exercise, good relationships and food. If you're having shit food with someone you don't like, sitting on your ass in the dark, not sleeping because you're watching so much crap, of course you're going to be struggling. So that's a crap example, but just imagine that, you know, whereas if you've done all those things to a reasonable degree, this is, you know, in the last 24 hours, the last, you can almost cheat the last 2 days, the last day. So that's really important. I think I wanted to lay that one out for everyone, including myself, because that's just a human thing. We are songwriters, yes, but we're humans. So we have to tick that box first. Then a kind of more bespoke, difficult thing to answer would be, if you're struggling with the ability to create, this goes back to something we talked about a long time ago. I'd first say, like, creating a project sheet where you've got all your seeds of ideas, which I do often, well, all the time with clients now. Top of their folder is like, okay, here are the projects. This is what I'm working on, EP, album, different projects, or here are all the seeds of the ideas. I'd also recommend just free writing. Free write, free write, free write, free write. If you've got sentences, if you've got nothing, just free write. How you feel. Start to get that 5 minutes, do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, just to get yourself going, right? Tick those five important things first, right? Then start to roll back in. Start to roll back in with your free writing. Start to dump. Just dump yourself. And also the things that are really cool to do. We talked about kind of going outside, but exercising, seeing light, those things are going to really help, because also you're probably going to be walking through a field or driving through town or grabbing a bus here, going to see friends there. Those things will give you inspiration, and kind of like quite hot inspiration, like meaningful, because there's a touchstone whereby you've just done that. It's fresh with you, so it feels good. And then you free write it. And then you follow the kind of creative funnel steps and tools that we talk about to get to a really cool product that you can start to work on and express yourself with. So that's the start. Other things like reading books. You know, you don't need to travel to the side of the world to get inspiration. You can go outside, walk around, do things that are free. Spend time with loved ones. Again, it's really cool how these five things actually are crossing over with the other creative things that I recommend on the show. Equally, watching Netflix with the subtitles on, I just go that all the time, because the amount of writers, creatives that I know that take the time to do that, it's almost all of them. Particularly, I'll kind of be taking notes sometimes. I'll like, I won't pause it because I have a lovely girlfriend who, I don't want to ruin her experience because I'm trying to be a nerd, but I'll just kind of like pick up my phone and throw in the one liner that I really liked, put it in my lyrics, and boom, it's done. And it feels good, because you're like, okay, cool, that's for later. That's for me to pick up on in a session or my own, or just to feel good that I put it down, just to tick that creativity for that day. So those are a few of the things. Co-writing is a big one, but equally these, you know, check those five. Are you in need of medication? Are you in need of love from someone? Are you in need of the right talking therapy, psychiatry? Who knows? So there's a lot of things to be answered there in terms of mental health. Because when you say low energy, I think for a lot of people that can be other things, but check those five and then jump in with the tools we talked about. But great question. That one's really close to my heart and something we're always going to be struggling with. So that's why I keep it simple with the five. And I think the five and the tools will get you there. So good work. And thank you for that question. It's awesome. Probably the most important one we've answered today. No offense, but I think everyone would agree on that. The final one, which I think I'll keep simple. What is a publishing deal? Cool. We're going to be talking about publishing deals in general. I think this is what is a publishing deal in terms of songwriting, but I think talking about it in general will be almost the same. Let's take a book deal. Very often, someone will be paid a lump sum. So I say I have a book. Better. No, you have a book in your files and it's brilliant, right? And you send it to me and I go, I really love that. I'm going to offer you £50,000. Often you might only have the first bit of the book, or if you've written the whole book, cool. But I'm going to give you £50,000 to pay you because I want to take half of your royalties for the book, or maybe 80%. You know, some book deals are really hard, but I'm going to give you an advance. That's the key aspect of a deal, any publishing deal, the advance. What are they giving you up front? We talked about this a little bit, but basically they're going to give you an advance for a share of your royalties. Boom. That's it. That's the really simple thing. Another part of that is, how long are they going to have your royalties for that money? And also, what percentage are they keeping? So that's the idea as well, as like, what are they getting? What are they giving you? How long is it going to last? So I think that's the really, really simple thing. In terms of songwriting, I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I have friends that have, you know, they've had £14,000 for their publishing deal, and that might be over 2 years. So realistically, it's not a lot of money, but it's great if you're doing other things. That's a really, really nice way. And it's really important as well for confidence. So they might have £14,000 over 2 years. I know some people have got, like, you know, studio time, or they get put in sessions. That's the biggest thing, is that you either have a studio space because your publisher wants you to do well because they have a share of what you're doing now, right? So that's their stake on you. And then there's also this idea of recouping. So maybe they give you 14,000. You do such a great job in the first 7 months through, you know, working with DJs is quite a good way to get money for you and your team. Say you recoup on zero, you're back up to like net. You don't owe them anything. Brilliant. You can either renegotiate the deal, or you can continue to then just share the profit as you go from zero sum. And people that are kind of in debt have that weight over their head. So it is a pressure, but very simply, a publishing deal, whether it's for books, whether it's for songwriting, we keep on songwriting, is someone to give you money for a share of your royalties. And then there's a term on that. And then at the end, you either renegotiate, or it's cancelled, or there are ways you can cancel it during that, or kind of get bonuses through that process. So that's very simply what a publishing deal is. And they come about whereby you already have a song that's out and people just want a piece of it. So they're going to give you what they think it's worth to have a share in it. So they give you some money. If they're smart, they're going to give you a little bit less than what they think they can get out of it, but still a lot to you. Then they actually help you get more out of it. So they get a bigger share of something and they make it bigger. So it's really, really interesting when that comes along. Or you're so good really young before you've released anything, which is hard because no one's heard it. They just want to offer you a deal there because they see the potential in you as an artist. And these can be super long deals, or they can be very short ones. So as an artist, they tend to be a touch longer. As a writer, they might be more like a kind of working contract. And some of them are ridiculous, like £250,000, which is amazing, which you have to make back. Or also with publishing deals, I really, really liked what I heard. I won't say who it is, but an artist that's already doing reasonably well in terms of finance, but wanted a record label to come on board to do marketing and promotion. They said, hey, I don't want your advance. I don't need the money up front, but I want you to take that money and put it into promotion of this song, these songs, this album, this record. So I love that. You know, if you have your own island to stand on, we talk about like sprinkling grains of sand under the water until it forms your own island, then you have something to play with. You have your own place to work from, your own thing to offer people, and your own value. So that was five questions. I really enjoyed that. That was way, way, way more easy than some other things we do. And look at that, 23 minutes. I think I want to keep these reasonably short. And if you have a question, I want you to first join the Discord. As you can just be a wallflower, go for it. If you're interested in dropping questions in the Discord, amazing. They'll end up on this show if I think there's something people are going to benefit from. If you want to work with me, get in the Discord, get in touch, send me an email, jump on Instagram, you get a free call with me. We can set all of that up really, really easily. But thank you for your questions. Thank you for being part of the community. And just mainly, thank you for listening. If you're listening to this, I really appreciate it. I don't know all of you. I'd love to know all of you. And I'm going one by one, but there's always people joining too. So I'm never quite up to date. So if you have time, please send me a hello, send me a message, send me a question, send me a song, and I will speak at you very soon.